Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friend, old Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw View. It's a pay-per-view review show right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. Anywhere fine podcasts are available, you can hit the subscribe download button either on YouTube or on the iOS podcast app, or of course on Stitcher, Podbean, wherever fine podcasts are available, you can find Going In Raw. And on the YouTube, be sure to hit that notify bell so that you can always get new Going In Raw content.
Yes.
Yeah, we're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson, where we have many different award tiers, including the $5, yeah, you know what? Including the $200,000 monthly reward tier. If you kick in $200,000 just one time, Larson will two-sweep me.
Yes.
And you get all the great rewards underneath that tier as well.
Yeah.
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 My dog wants to leave, so I'm going to get up right now, but I'm going to edit it.
And look at that. Thanks to the magic of editing, Steve is back.
No more dog in the room, and I'm still here. I never left. Oh, man. So should we apologize in advance before we start talking about this? Or should we blame it on the $10 and up patrons who voted on?
That's true. We did not select this. Our patrons did.
We offered it up as an option, but there were two other options available, and the vast majority, this wasn't even close, the vast majority of our $10 net patrons voted for Nitro, for us to review Nitro 9/25/2000, when Vince Russo won the title.
Yeah, I think they were trying to end the show on a cliffhanger.
Well, they did.
They did, but I mean, they did, but it wasn't sold like a cliffhanger.
Right.
Like, the commentary team didn't make it seem like, oh, we don't know who the champion is.
Yeah.
It just ended.
Yeah. Well, it ended with confusion.
But it wasn't really sold well, I don't think.
It wasn't sold well. And
because, like, if Shivani had sold the moment like he did Robin Hood about to come on after Nitro, then it might have created some intrigue, but there was none.
The problem with the end was that Booker T and Goldberg just walked up the ramp.
Well, they high-fived.
Yeah, yeah.
And then walked up the ramp.
Booker T didn't say, hey, give me my title back, because I obviously won that.
Yeah.
Instead, we'll get to that at the very end.
Yeah, there's a lot to get through here.
There's a lot of Vince Russo to get through here. I'm sorry. It's not entirely our fault. There were two other options that people could have voted on. There was so much Vince Russo in this. Did he actually think that the theories that he was a double agent, that he was sent to WCW to collect a paycheck and bring them down from within. This episode of Nitro is all the proof you really need.
It lends some credence to that theory, yes.
Because why would anybody want this? Number one, why would anybody want any Vince Russo in their programming? Number two, why would anybody want a lot of Vince Russo in their wrestling programming? It was like a new level of heat called Vince Russo heat, where it was not even X-Pac heat, where they were mad at him and they wanted him to leave. It was just people literally,
by my count, including the main event, he was on 5 segments of the show. And that includes the opening video package. Might as well get started, which was recapping apparently Vince Russo's quest to become WCW champion. And as he says during this video package, it was a lifelong dream of his to be WCW World Heavyweight Champion.
I guess. I don't know why it's so stupid. He arrived at the arena. Little Jeremy Borash was in tow. How old was Borash at the time? Well, like 20-something?
Seemed like he's probably young.
He looked simultaneously 12 and like 45.
Mm-hmm.
He aged well. He aged better. I think he looks more presentable now. Back then, he had that like Eminem cut.
Yeah.
So I don't remember him showing up. I don't remember his debut on WCW.
No, I don't. Back in this, to be honest, I used to watch WCW a lot.
Yeah.
Until it started getting really bad.
Yeah.
And I just like, why am I wasting my time with this garbage? I'll just watch Raw. So I'd still check into WCW now and again, but this was during the period of time where I really was not watching WCW much at all.
I think I remember like checking in every once in a while back then. Same as you, but I think I would check in maybe more often than you. And I do remember it having this just feeling of a desperation, creative desperation.
Yeah.
And B, along with the desperation, a desperate need to just change anything they could for the sake of change and seeing if that worked.
Mm-hmm.
Even the bikini contest was boring.
Yeah.
Even the bikini contest was crap. How do you mess up a bikini contest? Anyways, Vince Russo arrives at the arena. Jeremy Borash is in tow, sort of acting like a yes man.
Yeah.
Sort of, you know, trying to hype him up. And Russo's like, get away from me, kind of. Russo, I guess, Russo's not even trying to comedically play up.
No, he just seemed legitimately nervous.
Yeah. Maybe nervous. Maybe. Let me ask you something. In all the segments leading up to it, did you think there was any doubt in his mind that this was creatively the way to go? Given his body language?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You get that feeling?
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know. There are parts that made me feel that. There are parts that made me think in his head, this was exactly correct.
I think both things could exist in his head simultaneously.
Yeah, I think that's a possibility.
Like, you thought what he was doing was the right move, but at the same time, thinking, is this really what I want to do?
So, let me ask you something. When did you realize that this was a 2-hour episode of Nitro before you started it, like when you loaded it up? No, when did you realize?
No, like right when I went to the network, loaded it up, and saw it was only an hour and a half. I thought, I forgot that
was
Nitro.
Was it a pleasant surprise?
Very much so.
Me too. I actually didn't realize until, like, I didn't look at the time until I think I paused it, I don't know, a couple segments in, and I was like, wait, I thought this was 3 hours. Apparently Nitro went from 2 hours to 3 hours because they were getting really popular. And then at some point, like in mid-2000, they scaled down to TNT was like, okay,
we're hemorrhaging money off this operation.
Yeah.
Let's take an hour off this.
We don't need all this.
Money pit.
Yeah. We don't need all this. Can you imagine how many more Vince Russo segments would there have been if this was 3 hours?
Three more at least. Eight.
Eight altogether.
Yes.
All of them through. So I like your note here. Nitro's intro package is both really good and absolutely terrible.
It really is. It's way too long. The music sucks, but the editing's kind of interesting.
Yeah,
except when they have Kevin Nash with his glowing eyes. Why did Kevin Nash have glowing eyes?
I was going to agree with half of it. I thought it was absolutely terrible. It was like a non-tense section of the movie.
Oh, the music's garbage.
Of the movie. So it's like...
Music garbage. Like the first 3 seconds.
It was backwards.
It's terrible. The first 3 seconds with all that kind of bad TV looking
stuff. Yeah, everything's bad TV.
That was fine.
Yeah.
And then it was A, way
too
long.
Yeah.
B, crap music.
Yeah.
And then just random effects like Kevin Nash's glowing eyes.
And then, yeah, his weird glowing eyes once. Nobody else had glowing eyes.
No.
It was all bad TV filter. I thought it was terrible. It was all bad TV filter. I totally forgot. They got away from the little set. Like, I remember they did a different set when they had that new crap logo of theirs.
Yeah.
That was a bit more ambitious, and it had, like, the Nitro girls dancing.
Yeah, but it was ugly.
But then they moved on even from that.
They got, like, scaled down to
this
really small Tron, and they had, like, the Starfield background.
What do you think? I tried to look up the attendance.
It looked like, from one shot during the main event, like, the entire upper deck was empty.
Yeah, I know. This looks like a really, really sparsely populated.
Yes.
Like, even, like, the A camera, like, on the ring... Like, there were not many people populating. Like, they I don't know. It was weird. There did not seem to be that many people in the
arena. Let me ask you this. There was a lot of what seemed to be pro-Russo signs in the crowd.
Yeah.
Genuine? or they hand those out the door?
I don't know, man. I'd like to think they hand those out of the door, but people are weird. People will back the weirdest thing. You know what I mean? People will get on a band. People will get on a guy, and they'll just stay with him through a lot. So I don't know, man. I remember when they said Vince Russo was coming to WCW. I was excited.
Yeah,
because he had the, you know, we didn't know what we knew now. He didn't. He was like, oh wow, the guy who had some of the crazier ideas in the Attitude Era is coming to WCW. That's kind of cool. And then it was trash.
Yeah,
it was
completely unhinged.
And he's so ugly and like. God, he wore the stupid like gold chain, and God, he was so annoying. He was so obnoxious.
Yeah,
he was so bad.
Yeah, he was.
Anyways, yeah, that intro package.
And then WCW was completely unhinged and unglued and terrible and just basically unwashable from that point on.
And I even want to say like, oh, they had the talent, and I guess they did.
But at this point,
half of them were completely checked out.
Yeah, Nash.
Kevin Nash was so checked out.
Yeah, Nash was completely checked out.
He was so
I will say Sting.
Oh, he seemed into it.
Still, as a professional, was into it.
Yeah.
And put on a really good match with Lance Storm. We'll get to that later.
Well, Lance Storm can have a good match with a freaking broomstick.
But could he have a good match with Vince Russo?
Nobody can have a good match with Vince Russo. We kicked it off with Big Vito versus Johnny the Bull. I vaguely remember these guys from one of the New Blood Rising.
Yeah, they had a.
When was New Blood Rising? It was around this time.
Yeah, it was around this time.
This was September. New Blood Rising.
I want to say New Blood Rising was September too, but I could be wrong.
August. It was a month before this.
Okay.
So I kind of remember that Big Vito and Johnny the Bull, I think they kicked off some sort of feud at New Blood Rising.
Yeah, and then Reno was involved in that as well.
Reno.
Because he made an appearance here.
Oh, that's right.
So Vito's sister Maria was sitting ringside for this match.
Yeah, she was cute.
And so I guess this was a stick ball bat kendo stick match, but he had to quit to lose. That's what I gathered.
Okay, yeah.
So
yeah,
it's
kind of
a convoluted stipulation. And I was wondering for the first half of the match why no one used the stickball bat.
Right.
At all. And then literally as soon as I thought that, Vito picked it up and started using it.
Well, they have to build to it.
Yeah,
they
I guess.
They have to build to it.
But then he hit Johnny the Bull like three times and then went back to the kendo stick.
Yeah.
Reno runs out.
They're making a big deal about the sister Maria.
Yeah.
And that slob Mark Madden was... He was all over her, being about. He was like trying to be as offensive as possible, evidently, like within the boundaries of TNT's censors. Did you see the cat later on dropped a middle finger?
Yeah, and when he said something about Mark Madden, it seemed genuine.
That seemed genuine.
That was a shoot.
That was a total, because Mark Madden looked stunned.
Yeah,
and he was like, "Man, you're gonna bring that up? Like, you know, like you're gonna bring up that you think I'm a fat slob?
Yeah,
and you hate me? Even the cat seemed checked out."
Yeah, except for that one moment.
Except for that one moment where he called him a fat slob. Oh, man, that was good. So anyways, yeah, Vito's sister,
Maria,
runs into the ring towards the end.
Yeah, Reno puts Vito in the tree of woe and starts hitting him, or is about to start hitting him with a kendo stick. Maria comes in, says enough.
No mas.
Enough.
Yeah. I don't know where that went. I imagine Maria ended up being with somebody.
Who knows? Speaking of which,
storylines that went nowhere.
Yeah, David Flair. So throughout this show, he was driving around somewhere.
This is actually a relatively entertaining through line.
It was. So he's driving in his Escalade.
Yeah.
Pulls up abruptly to a payphone. The guy who was on the payphone, he like throws him off.
Yeah, it was good.
And starts going through the phone book there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just funny. Even in 2000, payphones were still a thing.
I remember having a cell phone in 2000, though.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. Maybe I just had a pager.
Yeah, pagers were definitely a thing.
Pagers were definitely a thing. I'm almost positive I had a cell phone, though.
I mean, there were cell phones in 2000.
I had no use for that pager whatsoever. I had no use for
it. That's why I never had one.
What, Jeff was going to page me?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, isn't it weird, though? Like, how do we get along without these things these
days? I know.
That's crazy. How did David Flair know where he was going?
Well, that's why he was looking in the phone book for an address.
Yeah, but then even with an address, he had to ask somebody. Was this where he asked somebody?
No, that's later on.
Okay, that's later on. Okay.
Well, I mean, he doesn't have Google Maps on his payphone, so he can't find anything.
Yeah.
After this, we get Jeff Jarrett and Scott Steiner in the ring.
Ugh.
Deliver a promo. and they bring out Vince Russo.
This was so confusing because they dropped a heel promo, but then Vince Russo, the entire time, Vince Russo, I think he really thought that he was the face.
Because they were in New York.
They're in New York. Nobody in New York likes you. No, they don't care. Look, here's the thing. If you're from a place, yeah, you're going to get some amount of hometown love, but it doesn't automatically mean people are going to love you. They were probably just like, man, why couldn't one of the real wrestlers be from New York? Why do we have to have you? Because he didn't get like a face reaction. Nobody, it was just nobody cared about him.
Yeah.
Nobody cared.
Yep.
He was in it. It just honestly felt to everybody there, like watching at home, looking at that crowd and how they non-reacted to him. They just wanted him out of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I came here for a wrestling show. Who are you even?
Yeah.
You know?
Why is a writer out here wrestling?
And are you the guy I'm supposed to direct my rage at for this crap writing?
Yes.
Anyways, yeah, Jeff Jarrett, Scott Steiner, they cut a heel promo. Vince Russo comes out and cuts what appears to be a face promo because he's from New York. Then Booker T shows up on the Tron. Did he say something before Sting popped up?
No, Sting was talking.
Sting was talking. It was like a ventriloquist act. And then Sting popped up. He was actually behind Booker T. This was like, I think this is like Sting's original Joker gimmick.
Oh, yeah.
It was very Sting Joker from TNA.
It was. And then Goldberg was in the crowd. He had apparently quit after his match against Scott Steiner at Fall Brawl.
Did you ever find out who Elliott Wrestling was?
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about, though?
No, I didn't notice that at all.
Really?
No.
That's weird. Maybe it was during the Steiner match, the Steiner cage match. It was like two cage matches. They had to get their use out of
it. I think
it
was that one.
Okay, I think it was that one.
Because I really paid attention during the Russo match looking for Elliott Wrestling,
okay.
And I didn't notice anything.
All right, maybe because I was thinking maybe he came down with Goldberg.
Yeah, it could be.
Anyways, Goldberg's in the crowd, and Steiner had earlier been talking about the fact that he's the man who, like, made Goldberg.
Drove Goldberg out of WCW.
Yeah, that's right. But then Goldberg was back, and then wasn't it like shortly after this that Goldberg actually did align him? He turned heel. I think it was at the Bash.
That'd been before this. That'd been July or June.
I don't know. Anyways, Goldberg's in the crowd, and then we had Team Chronic backstage.
Yeah, Bryan Adams was in this weird kind of like clubbing shirt.
Yeah, they both always dressed like they were clubbing guys. It's weird. They were super over.
I know. They were named after weed.
Let's review the Chronic
but
thing.
They were never packaged like they were actually weed smokers.
Yeah, but yeah, their finishing move wasn't it like High Times or something.
Yeah,
and then they were called Chronic, but not C H R O N I C. It was K R O N I K.
Yeah,
and yet they never really acted like you said like they were on weed. They never made any references to it.
They were just superficially packaged.
They were
weed enthusiasts,
yeah. But then they were like meathead club guys.
Yeah,
the way they would rage on a dime made them feel like it was your stereotypical steroid rage.
Yeah,
guy.
They weren't mellow at all.
Because then somebody named above average Mike Sanders shows up, who I don't know if he's supposed to. I think he was part of WCW's youth movement, but he looks like he's a good 45
years old.
He did.
Well, he has to break the unfortunate news to Chronic that due to their actions, another Nitro or something, that Vince Russo has removed Chronic from the tag team battle royal and Chronic.
Oh boy, they were mad about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mellow, they were not.
Here's the thing about Mike Sanders, though. He actually kind of had a personality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he didn't look like a wrestler,
mm-mm,
but he had a personality. He kind of reminded me a little bit of Peyton Manning.
Yeah, a little bit.
He kind of had Peyton Manning vibe
a little
going
bit
towards him. I think they liked him because he did have some natural charisma.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was any good in the ring, though.
Yeah, I don't know either. After that, we had the tag team battle royal.
They love their clusterfuck tag team.
Yeah, they do.
Matches.
New Blood Rising, they had the same thing.
There's a ton of people in the ring milling about. So it was...
Chronic was not in it.
No, they
were
not.
But
it
was the Harris Brothers, the Young Dragons, Three Count, MIA, and Jindrak and O'Hare.
Yeah.
Five teams, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so about halfway through, Chronic comes out,
mm-hmm,
and starts clearing the ring. Harris Brothers gone. Young Dragons gone. Three count gone. MIA gone. And then security comes in and starts macing Chronic in the face.
I like one of the security guards accidentally got some mace on the other guy and he no-sold it. like he comes in there, sprays while one guy's trying to take him down. And it obviously gets in that guy, but he just no-sells it. But Chronic does it.
Yeah.
Chronic just keeps on. They're like, oh, God, it hurts. And the other guy's like, yeah, I took my anti-mace I have my anti-mace contacts in, so I'm good.
Oh, Filthy Animals were in the match, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
So the last two teams.
And with, this is where Conan was doing commentary.
Yeah.
And he was getting kind of a, he was, I mean, look, it was 2000. Certain things were just more acceptable to say back then than they are now. But Conan was definitely, he was saying the things that you should not be saying. Like every other thing he said, I was like, geez, you can't say that today, you know?
Commentary, WCW back then was not good.
No,
it was really bad.
It was not good at all.
Mark Madden, I don't know how he ever got a job. He's crap.
I have no idea. He was terrible.
He's atrocious.
He's awful.
So anyways, the last two teams, Filthy Animals, Jindrak and O'Hare, Disco Inferno
Mark
comes
Madden
out.
Was like, he was like really bad YouTube comments personified in like a person. You know Lawrence's gimmick, the troll?
Yeah.
It's like a real version of that. Kind of, because he just says things that are just, like, it's just, he's aiming to shock, but it's never clever.
Yeah.
And he doesn't add anything to the broadcast.
Nothing. Final two teams, Filthy Animals, Jindrak and O'Hare. Disco Inferno apparently is on the outs with the Filthy Animals and has a duck with him, a plastic duck.
That, you know what? That was actually the lone highlight for me. Disco made me laugh.
Yeah.
Because Disco could talk on the mic.
Yeah, he could.
And Disco in the Filthy Animals was hilarious anyways. And it just, it was, I don't know, it made me laugh.
It's just so much weird.
Yeah, it was really weird.
And so he hits Juventud, right? In the back.
Yeah.
Leads to his elimination.
Yeah.
Jindrak and O'Hare eliminate Rey Mysterio. Mm-hmm. They're the new tag team champions.
I think this is the match where I made the note. Everything looks so small.
Yeah, the ring looked really small.
The ring looked small. The venue, like, or the number of people looked small. Everything just looked really small. And so at that point, I started kind of trying to focus on how many people are there. Is it above 5,000? Because I don't know that it was.
Yeah. It looked like the entire upper deck was empty.
Yeah, I know. Then, thank God, the Insane Clown Posse comes out.
No, you skipped when Mean Gene interviews Howard Stern's Whack Pack.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And that's when Kevin Nash comes in with the Natural Born Thrillers.
Okay, yeah.
And, like, in the most bored way, like, tries to say, this is, well, he comes in and is like, oh, see, this is why, like, he's kind of aligned with Vince Russo.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, he's like, okay, this is why things aren't going right in WCW.
Yeah.
So I was like, is that a shoot? I don't know. And then he's like, okay, guys, let's not hang around here anymore. Let's go. And then he goes and shakes Beetlejuice's hand and says, I like your suit.
Yeah. Was this backstage?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I kind of remember this. I just remember when he showed up at the top of the ramp.
Oh, that was later. And he just looked like he was thinking about anything else other than what's going on.
But it reminded me of Magic Mike. Because all the Natural Born Thrillers, you know, they all have immaculate bodies.
Yeah.
And they're all wearing jeans or shorts. And they're all topless.
And you got Nash with his t-shirt tucked into his jeans. Exactly. His baseball hat, yeah.
Exactly. It just made me think of Magic. He was in the Magic Mike.
I will say that when Kevin Nash shook Beetlejuice's hand,
yeah,
that was the most genuine moment
of the entire
segment.
Yeah, I know. Well, look, Nash is a good guy.
After that, then we had the Insane Clown Posse.
Oh, my God. So he said, he used the word... he used the word retard. You can't do that anymore. That's a no-no. So he did that. And he started promoting Juggalo Championship Wrestling.
Yeah.
He started dropping names about some of their hardcore guys. They all sounded terrible. He's terrible.
Yeah.
The Insane Clown Posse are terrible.
Yeah, they are.
However, I'll give him this. For terrible rappers, they were not terrible wrestlers. In the sense that you think they would be.
Yeah, they were more than willing to take bumps.
They took bumps, and just little things. Like when Shaggy 2 Dope was starting to... So that led to Mike Awesome coming out.
No, who, that 70s guy.
Yeah, that 70s guy, Mike Awesome.
Where he drove out in his... what was that show? Partridge Family?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was. That's what it was. Yeah, that's what it was from. Okay. All right. Anyways, he comes out, and they have an impromptu hardcore match.
Yeah.
Shaggy 2 Dope. Okay, here's the thing. 9 times out of 10, if a celebrity comes in the ring in the WWE and they start doing punches on somebody, there is a specific way in wrestling you deliver a punch that makes it look like a wrestling punch and therefore part of the show. And Shaggy 2 Dope knew how to do that.
Yeah.
He was like punching Mike Awesome in a way that, oh, wow, you actually look legit. And so that's what I'm talking about. It's a little fundamental things that they actually did pick up on.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to kind of give them credit for that.
No, I know. They seemed like they were into the wrestling thing.
Yeah.
So the match more or less all takes place around Mike Awesome's bus.
Yeah.
Violet J sets up a table. Eventually he goes through it.
Mm-hmm.
That 70s guy, Awesome bombs Shaggy 2 Dope on top of the bus. And
well,
then
let me ask you this.
Shaggy kind of just like slides off into the floor.
Yeah, that was a good spot. I actually like
that. Yeah, that was pretty fun.
Because it was more of a, I thought that wasn't the Awesome bomb an actual power bomb, and this was actually Razor's Edge.
Awesome bomb was kind of a combo.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, because he'd pick him up and kind of put him on his shoulder.
Okay, all right, all
but
right,
not
all right.
Extend his arms fully for like a Razor's Edge.
Okay, okay. Because this looked a bit more like a Razor's Edge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In any event, yeah, it was on top of the... That's not an easy spot to pull off. I mean, if you're Shaggy 2 Dope, you're going backwards onto the bus, which, yeah, has those rounded edges. You got to feel pretty lucky that you didn't, like, get bombed off the bus.
Oh, I know.
You have to feel very lucky about
that. I know,
that.
Because Mike Awesome, you know, he takes a couple steps before he drops you.
And that his footing was not solid.
No.
So he dropped him on the bus, and then, yeah, he sort of, you know, he limped his body, and then he went sliding off.
Very slow, somewhat controlled.
Yeah.
Slid off the bus.
I actually was kind of impressed.
Yeah, me too.
Honest.
Mike Awesome gets off the bus, covers.
Who would have thought the most inspired wrestling in WCW at this time would be from the Insane Clown Posse?
I don't know if it's the most inspired.
They were into it, though.
No, they were.
The most out of everybody there. I think they were the most invested.
I think the most inspired was Lance Storm.
Yeah, I know. But he's just a professional. These guys were like, you know, Lance Storm didn't want to be there.
Well, this was an opportunity for Insane Clown Posse to promote their own promotion. That's probably why they were
you know
into
what?
It.
Regardless of the motivation, they were inspired.
They delivered.
Yeah.
Mike Awesome goes to the floor, pins Shaggy 2 Dope.
Yeah,
picks
wins.
Up the win.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next, Angry David Flair drives to a Chuck E. Cheese.
This was great.
Goes in and starts yelling at one of their employees about where this address is. And
credit,
she doesn't know.
Credit to the employee. She maintained her cool throughout being raged on by David. And when David Flair yells at people, he sounds exactly like his dad. I never really saw many comparisons, like superficially, between him and his dad.
But oh, when then, he was yelling, yeah.
He when he was yelling, exactly, he sounded exactly like Ric Flair.
Exactly like Ric Flair, especially in the last segment.
Yeah. And then he was at Chuck E. Cheese. In his fever pitch, in the fever passion he was feeling for whoever he was running after.
He was trying to find the father of Stacy Keibler's baby.
So we found that out later.
Or what?
You looked that up.
Yeah.
That was never actually
said.
They
just dropped the storyline, yeah.
But no, like when he was driving around, did they ever say?
No.
Okay.
It was a mystery.
It was a mystery, okay. The mystery that just ran, like, it felt like a 3-hour show.
It did.
Anyways, he jumped into a ball pit thinking that whoever this person he's looking for is there.
Doesn't make any sense.
They weren't in the ball pit, though. That
was funny,
make any
but
sense.
It didn't make any sense.
It was kind of funny.
Yeah, kind of funny.
The
Next,
cat.
Yes, the cat, who's still a general manager.
Yeah, still, yeah. And also, look, even through, he was dressed great. He had like a leather jumpsuit on.
Yeah.
And he had sunglasses on. Even looking at him with the sunglasses on, because, you know, the eyes betray one's inner thoughts.
Yes.
You could tell he was checked out.
Apart from
when he gets in the ring and he says, "If you open your mouth, fat boy, I'm going to stuff my foot in it," or something like that. And then the camera cuts to Mark Mann. He's all, "No, dude, he don't like you."
Yeah.
That's all it is. He just doesn't like you.
The cat said he would fire Steiner, Jeff Jarrett, or Kevin Nash if they interfered in the main event.
Mm-hmm.
Out comes above average Mike Sanders.
Yeah.
With a bat.
With the Ulysses Killer.
Yes. And then Kevin Nash and all the Natural Born Thrillers come out.
Mm-hmm.
They go into the ring, start fighting with the cat.
Yeah.
He tries to defend himself, but it's too much. And Kevin Nash stands at the top of the ramp just looking bored out of his mind.
He was just thinking, man, I get to be out of here in about an hour. Let's call Scott Hall, see what he's up to. He just hated not having his best friend there.
Could be. He looked unbelievably bored.
He did. He was.
Well, even we watched New Blood Rising. He was unbelievably bored.
Oh yeah, I know.
Unbelievably bored. Next, you mentioned the bikini contest.
Mm-hmm.
It was just bad.
Yeah, it was. It was horrible. It was like,
So you had Howard Stern's Whack Pack as the panel of judges.
Yeah.
He had Mean Gene out there hosting it. You can tell he didn't want to be there.
Well.
And then...
I think Mean Gene liked being around the ladies.
And then Pamela Paulshock, who I guess was their backstage interviewer.
Okay, yeah.
Was also out there, not a contestant.
Right. She was in a big furry coat.
Yeah.
Telegraph the entire outcome. So we had a couple of Nitro girls. We had Tori Wilson. Stacy Keeler was not there. We had...
It's like six contestants.
Like the and then like the valet for the Tigress was
the
Filthy Animals. She came out there.
Major Guns.
Major Guns. Sacramento's own Major Guns.
Oh yeah.
Sacramento's own Major Guns.
Who apparently was a member of Team Canada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As was Jim Duggan. Jim Duggan came out. He cleaned up well.
Yeah.
Like he was doing the Canadian like gimmick.
So he cut his hair, shaved his beard.
He looked like one of those videos on YouTube where like some people go out to like the homeless and they clean them up so they can like, you know, have some respect. That's what it looked like. It was good. I thought he cleaned up well.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The crowd hated that shit though. They hated that he was Canadian.
Yeah.
You know, he's,
well, I think that was the point.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, he comes out and he leads Major Guns away because she's supposed to be part of Team Canada too.
And she was wearing a American flag bikini.
Yeah. And then Pamela Paulshock, she starts acting like she's getting hot underneath that giant fur coat. So she takes it off and she's got a shirt with like a boob window and the boobs are just like out of control. And so all of Howard Stern's Whack Pack, mind you, this is a 45-minute segment. This is excruciatingly long. And the girls are all like leathery, plasticky, just varying. Like they look like they're made out of various materials that just aren't human. And so it's not even really titillating, to be honest with you. But anyway, she undresses or her boobs are sticking out and then the Whack Pack really like her. So she won.
Even though she wasn't a contestant.
Even though she wasn't a contestant.
And then out came Scott Steiner's valet.
But like at least WWF when they were doing that kind of shit, at least there was some amount of clever. At least we had Jerry Lawler acting like an idiot. At least there was something relatively clever about like when Sable unrobed and disrobed and she had like the handprints on her boobs. Okay, well that's actually a clever take on things, you know, because then Mark Mero gets upset about it. And I'm not saying all that stuff was like, I mean, obviously it wouldn't fly today. We probably don't want to see it today. But like, at least when the WWF did it, they were kind of iconic moments. It was like, oh, Attitude Era, Sable's handprint boobs. We remember this. I didn't remember shit about this because it was so boring.
Yeah.
It was so uninteresting.
Well, same at New Blood Rising when Stacy Keibler and Major Guns.
It was awkward and weird.
What was it? A mud wrestling match?
It was
whatever
a camouflage mud wrestling match.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, they had to disrobe the camouflage.
Yeah, and then go to the mud.
And then awkwardly walk to the mud.
Yeah, it was awful. Awful, 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 awful.
Stacy Keibler was nice to look at, though. Next up, we had a Scott Steiner interview.
Yeah, he was Jumbo Elliott, former football player, I think, for the New York Jets.
Elliott Wrestling. There you go. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's Elliott Wrestling.
Jumbo Elliott. Yeah. He was the one that held the door shut when Steiner tried to get out of the.
Yeah. 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 Okay.
Okay,
yeah.
There you go.
There you go. It all comes together.
There you go.
Let's see what his face looks like. I need to look at his face.
So Scott Steiner starts running down Jumbo Elliott. I don't know if Jumbo Elliott went to Michigan because Scott Steiner was talking to him as if he knew him at one point.
Yeah.
But Jumbo Elliott would come into play later. He's in the Giants.
That's right.
Goldberg comes out.
Yeah.
And attacks him. Oh, it's backstage. Sorry, this is all backstage. This interview. Steiner's interview.
Yeah.
This is backstage. And then Goldberg attacks him. We go to a commercial break. Come back. Disco Inferno is coming out to the ring with his duck.
Yeah.
And he's announcing that he has a new tag team partner.
Yeah.
And then as he's about to unveil him, Scott Steiner comes out.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
Because Scott Steiner, like, especially with the lighting for his entrance... Which, like, they dim the lights and have, like, strobe lights on them. Combined with the sirens wailing, he was kind of like a horror movie villain.
Yeah, kind of.
He was kind of horror. It's like, if I'm Disco Inferno and Scott Steiner is stalking me from the ramp, I'm running.
Yeah.
But he didn't. He attacked Disco Inferno. Called out Goldberg. Goldberg comes down. All of a sudden, Steiner has a mask on his face.
Well, Goldberg says we'll have Yeah, Steiner has a mask on his face. And I was confused.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. Goldberg challenges Steiner to a cage match because there's a cage above the ring for the main event.
Yeah, because if you got a cage match in the main event, obviously what you want to do is use that same cage and kind of steal the thunder from the novelty of the cage match later on.
I know, but they tried to recapture that thunder for the main event when they lowered the cage again and had the fancy lights go off to make it seem like it was a huge deal, even though we had just seen it.
We had already seen the cage match.
So anyways, after that, we do get a cage match between Goldberg and Scott Steiner. One of the commentary people said that Steiner was wearing a mask because he had a broken orbital bone.
I don't think that was true.
No, it looked kind of decorative.
Yeah,
it looked like black leather, it looked like.
I feel like Steiner just wanted to try out a new mask, and they
could
need to come up with a reason for it.
Could be.
Hey, I got this mask here. I want to try it out tonight. Okay, why are you going to wear it?
Broken orbital bone.
No, he didn't. Why do you want to wear it? Because I want it, you fat bastard. And then he punches whoever asks him that, whoever dared question his authority.
What was Scott Steiner's valet's name again?
Madeja?
Something like that, yeah. She came out with a giant lead pipe.
Yeah.
Gave that to Steiner. He started beating Goldberg with it.
Mm-hmm.
Steiner tries to escape. Jumbo Elliott.
Yep, Jumbo Elliott.
Locks
Elliott
the
wrestling.
Cage door. And then Goldberg spears Steiner. Jumbo Elliott opens the door for Goldberg. Goldberg wins.
You know what sucked about that? The fact that Goldberg speared Steiner. Steiner had the lead pipe like this, and Goldberg speared him through it.
Yeah.
And it didn't affect Goldberg at all.
I know. I know. And commentary is like, he speared him right through the lead pipe.
Yeah. No. No, he should be affected by that.
Agreed.
That actually should have cost him the match.
Agreed.
Let's see here. Next.
There's a really quick backstage segment where Jeff Jarrett encounters...
I've seen this Jeff so many times.
...encounters Beetlejuice and then hits him over the head with a guitar.
Yeah, it looked like it probably hurt, too. Next up, we had a Booker T interview. Don't hate the player, hate the game. Can be summed up. Next up, we had General Erection. Again, when they took gimmicks that, like Hugh Morris, which, okay, it's not the most clever thing in the world, but it's better than General Erection.
Yes.
That's just stupid.
Yes.
He took on Jeff Jarrett. Wonder who was winning that one.
Apparently, General Erection had a problem with Team Canada because they all came out.
Oh, that's right. This has turned into a clusterfuck.
Yeah, it really was. Lance Storm came out. Elix Skipper.
Oh, I loved Elix Skipper,
though. Yeah.
He was good.
Yeah, he was. And then Jim Duggan all came out. Duggan hit General Erection with a 2x4.
So, like, dude, they had talent.
Yeah.
It's not like they didn't have talent.
It's just horrible booking. Bad creative. So after that, Double J Jeff Jarrett hit General Erection with the stroke. That was what the finisher was called.
That's like the front-facing Russian leg
sweep. Yeah.
Going forward. Yeah. Okay.
And then the rest of MIA came out to make the save. Sting comes out too.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, Lance Storm challenges Sting to a match.
Lance Storm is the best.
Yeah, he is.
He's the greatest.
You know, I noticed about this Nitro is that I'm sure as this was the intent, they made it seem like the entire show was booked on the fly.
No, I know. It was such a mess. Like you've got like when Lance Storm gets on the mic and it's like, oh man, I'm really interested now. And then him and Sting have a match. Why wasn't that like the main event for, I don't know, the United States Championship?
Why not build to that match? Because it was in the...
It was a good match!
7 minutes allotted.
I know!
It was fantastic.
I know! It was a good match.
Two highlights. Lance Storm managed to reverse out of the Scorpion Deathlock into a single leg crab.
That was good. That
was a
really cool,
smooth
yeah.
transition. And
Sting could still go back.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, the finish saw Sting transition from a body slam right into a Scorpion Deathlock. Death drop lands it, wins.
Again, if that was 15 minutes, it could have been the main event.
It would have been a fantastic match.
Yeah, it could have been cool. I mean, like I said, they had the talent there. It was just, God, they had no, it was such a mess. It was such an absolute mess.
Like half the stuff they did made no sense. Yeah. We'll get to that in the main event, which I'm still kind of confused by some of the stuff. David Flair.
Mm-hmm.
Thinks he found the address, goes into the house,
right.
Barges in.
Right.
There's an older gentleman there who lives there. Yeah. He's not a very good actor.
And he didn't seem terribly concerned with the fact that David Flair and a crowbar barged into his house.
Yeah.
He was just sort of calmly trying to explain to him, hey, nobody's here. It's just me. There's nobody here.
Well, no, it wasn't that. He was like, what are you doing in my house? And David Flair says, I'm looking for this address. And the guy says, well, that's next door.
Yeah.
And so Flair leaves. Goes and rings the doorbell, bangs on the door, and the guy in the previous house says, they're not here. They've been gone for a week.
Yeah.
Very calmly says, I'm going to call the police.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah. Well, David Flair says, well, you send a message to him. I'm going to be waiting right here until he gets here. But then he leaves.
Yeah.
So, and then, yeah, so you looked it up. They just dropped the storyline.
Yeah, pretty much. Stacey Kubler says, in fact, she was not pregnant. She broke up with David Flair, and then she was off TV for a while.
Mm. Oh, okay. Broke up with him in reels? They were really
on
a couple.
On TV, I think.
I thought they were really a couple.
They might have been, too.
Who am I thinking of? Maybe I'm thinking of
something. No, I think you're right. I think they might have been.
Real a couple. Let's see here. Then, so yeah, she could have been sister-in-law with Charlotte, but instead she dated George Clooney.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a step up.
Mm-hmm.
So then our main event, cage match.
Well, hold on. Let's talk about this Vince Russo interview, because he is obviously nervous.
Yeah, you think? See, I don't know, man. You're probably right. You probably got a better read on that than I do. I don't know. Part of me felt that he just was really, I think he saw himself as Bruno. I think because he played this interview so straight. I was like, man, this guy really does want to win WCW championship. But maybe not. Maybe he was just
nervous. I think more than anything, he's probably nervous about going out there and having a match.
Yeah.
A cage match.
Do you think he's that aware, though?
I don't know.
I don't know if he really cares about the quality of matches.
I don't know about the quality, but just going out there and taking bumps.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, I'll say this, though. If I were ever to wrestle, I'd wear the outfit he wore.
Yeah.
A full, like,
he needed that for that
outfit.
Spear at the end.
Oh, I know.
And they had padding on the guardrail there, too.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
they needed, because that would have knocked him out, if not.
Yeah.
So that takes us to our main event, Vince Russo versus Booker T for the WCW Championship in a steel cage.
Yeah.
Jeremy Borash comes out for commentary.
Yeah, a bunch of the faces, the face locker room came out.
It was the Filthy Animals, that 70s guy.
Yeah.
A couple others.
Like, this is literally the definition of an overbooked clusterfuck.
Oh, yeah.
And it gets so overbooked.
It's such a mess towards the end.
Yeah.
Like, Vince Russo comes out, and he's obviously holding something, you know, like a weapon in his pants.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So as soon as the bell rings, he pulls a bat out of his pants and then starts hitting Booker T with it.
Right.
He tries to escape. All the faces block the door.
Mm-hmm.
And then Russo grabs a ladder from under the ring.
Yeah.
Puts it in the ring and tries to escape from the top.
Yeah.
The faces climb.
And Sting comes down.
Yeah, he repels down to the ring. That's the only time you see him, though. He repels down in one shot, and you never see him again.
Yeah.
And then Lex Luger appears and gives Russo
the
a lead pipe.
The ghost of Lex Luger appears.
And then Vince Russo hits the ref with a pipe.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of medical personnel that come into the ring. One of which
is Ric Flair.
Ric Flair.
Hold on a second. Was he disguised as an EMT or was he actually an EMT? Did we get confirmation on that? Maybe it was a side gig.
Someone on commentary made it seem like that was his new profession.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And so he attacks Russo, puts him in the figure four, I think for like 7 seconds.
Yeah, it's really quick.
Releases. At that point, Booker T probably could have got out of the cage.
Oh, yeah. So from this point on, Booker T is anywhere between between 6 feet and 12 inches away from literally winning the match, being outside the cage. The door is right there.
Yeah. So the Natural Born Thrillers run out to the cage. They start fighting with all the faces.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Booker T, rather than escape the cage, wants to apparently inflict more damage on Vince Russo. Mm-hmm. He gets on the mic. What does he say?
Goldberg?
No,
who?
Booker T.
Oh, Booker T. Oh, he said, don't hate the player,
that's
hate
right.
the game.
That's right. And so, you know, he's
signaling that he's about to leave.
Yeah. Right, he's about to leave.
12 inches away from the...
Maybe less than that. Goldberg's music hits.
Yeah.
And the camera goes to a profile close-up on Booker T, and he goes...
Clearly says, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Goldberg comes out. So Booker, rather than escape, leave the cage, he just stands there.
Yeah, he's stunned. The commentary really plays up. He's been stunned into not leaving.
Like, and so,
he's so stunned, he's not moving.
Yeah, so Goldberg...
paralyzed.
Comes up to the cage door, goes inside the cage. Right as Booker turns around, Scott Steiner's there.
He shows up.
Hits Booker with the cage door.
But then Booker kicks the cage door into Scott Steiner, specifically like around the eye area.
Yeah.
Where he's supposed to be nursing his orbital bone.
Broken orbital bone.
Yeah.
And right after that, Goldberg goes to spear.
Uh-huh. Russo.
Russo
tries to like sneakily get past Booker T.
Yeah, he pushes him, it looks like.
He pushes him a little bit, but as he's doing that, Goldberg is ready and he spears him through the cage wall. And right as he's doing that, like a split second after that, Booker T steps out. Vince Russo has a giant smile on his face when that happens. I watched that twice. He has a big smile on his face
after the grimace from getting speared into the guardrail.
Yeah, but it looks more. Yeah, and then Booker T and Goldberg shake hands or
they
high five,
and then they walk up the ramp.
Walk up the ramp together. Booker T does not stop to get his championship. I don't know if it's supposed to be known that Vince Russo won. I don't know. I have no idea. I was actually surprised that I thought so. How long was David Arquette's title run? It lasted like a couple weeks. I thought it was the same for Vince Russo, but it wasn't. He comes out
dry for a week, right?
Yeah, he drops a promo on Thunder as champion, and then on the next Nitro, I started watching the next Nitro. Here's one thing. Credit to this, things happened on Thunder back then. Like, I always thought that Thunder was like. Thunder kind of started off as more of a B show.
Well, oh, yes.
Yeah, it started off as a B show, but then they would actually continue things on Thunder. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like strictly a recap / dark match wannabe show. Because he came out on Thunder, dropped a promo that he's champion, and then on Nitro the next week, I wonder if he was like, if WCW, if the higher-ups might have overrode his writing there. Because when he announced that he was vacating the title, he did it in a very stilted manner, as if he was like being forced to say it. And so I don't know what the story is there exactly. I know the WCW hired and fired and fired and hired him a bunch.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But this was before or after the David Arquette thing?
I think it was after.
Okay, that would make sense. Slamboree 2000. Yeah, that makes sense. And so yeah.
Yeah, it was after.
Oh, okay, this was after.
Slamboree
okay.
was in May.
This might have been like the last straw. Who knows? They were probably like, because here's the thing. I just looked this up. Competing with this on Raw, the next. So, okay. Oh, good. Here's a list of the champions that WWF had at the time. For Raw's War 9/25/2000.
Mm-hmm.
Rock was their heavyweight champion. Eddie Guerrero was their Intercontinental champion. The tag team champions were the Hardy Boys. Al Snow was the European champion. The hardcore champion was Steve Blackman. The women's champion was Lita. And the light heavyweight champion was Dean Malenko.
Wow.
That's a stacked championship deck,
yeah,
right
it
there.
Is.
In terms of the matches, that night going head-to-head, we got Kane versus Rikishi. Which ended in a double DQ after 2 minutes. Taz versus Bubba Ray Dudley. A tag team ladder match between the Hardys, Edge, and Christian. X-Pac versus Jericho in a First Blood match.
Wow.
Intercontinental Championship match. Eddie Guerrero with China beat Val Venus with Steven Richards, so they were doing the right to censor thing. And a world... not all the titles, but there were three title matches. And then The Rock versus Chris Benoit.
Wow.
For the heavyweight title. Against this slop.
Yeah.
Against this garbage turd of a card.
Yeah, terrible.
Against Vince Russo winning the WCW title. Man. Just throwing in the white towel here. That's terrible. This episode more just brought the hate out in me. This wasn't even really fun to watch.
No, it was not fun
at
all.
It was just hate.
It was absolutely not fun. We should get away from 2000 WCW.
Yeah, I think that'd probably be a best idea.
But saying that, I think we should make Slamboree 2000 one of the options.
All right, how about this?
We're going to keep the other two. We're going to keep Clash of Champions 24.
Yes,
and debut of the Shockmaster and the Wrestling Classic. We're just going to replace what was selected.
Slamboree 2000?
Slamboree 2000.
All right. So those are the options that we're putting up for the patrons after they vote, which they're going to do right now. Okay.
We're going to announce the selection right here, right now.
We got our results. The winner and what we'll be watching next week is Clash of Champions 24, the debut of the Shockmaster.
Finally.
Yes.
Good choice.
Thank you. It's
great choice.
Time.
Looking forward to it.
Yes. Anyways, let us know what you guys think in the comments. Again, if you did watch this, you're a trucker. Right?
Isn't that trooper.
A trooper.
Trooper.
I thought a trucker is the thing you could be, too.
That's keep on trucking.
Keep on trucking. Doesn't apply here. Thanks for watching. We'll talk to you guys next time.
Bye.